You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, that with so many needs in the world today, so many issues that are going on in our lives personally and around us, Father, help us to have a worldview that is consistent with your heart. Thank you, Lord, that as we look at your word, that it would bring awareness to our spirit. It would bring awareness to us what you're doing right here in this moment and what you want to do. I thank you, Father, that your word would just come alive inside of us and cause transformation. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We have so many things that are going on these days. You can look in the news and you can see the different problems. You can see different circumstances. You can see natural disasters that are happening. We have an election. We need a lot of prayer for that. We have civil unrest. And as I was really watching and praying, watching the news and praying, I was just praying this prayer. God, what would you say to your people? What would you say to your people in such a pivotal moment, in such a time when our world needs answers and we need answers to issues that are very real? What would you say to us today? And God really dropped this scripture into my heart. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. There's so much in there that I think is for us. The New Living Translation says, I will restore their land. And it's important that we realize our hope, we're coming up into November, but our hope is not in politics. Our hope does not reside in politicians. Our hope is in God. And I hope we realize that. I hope we remember that. I hope we keep that on the forefront of our mind. That however we may like somebody or dislike somebody, our hope does not reside in a politician. God can use a politician. That's what our prayer is, that God will use a politician to take and help to heal our land. But our hope is not in the politician. And thank God for that. And as I was sitting in a lecture last week, I really heard something that was so revealing about us. And the person was saying, in the midst of this crazy election, the candidates are maybe, just maybe, a reflection of where America is right now. Divided, riddled with character flaws, just a mess. It's not just the politicians, it's the state of America. It's the state of our land. America needs help. We can look at the inequality, you know, in the world today. When I first heard about the Black Lives Matter and that started coming to the forefront, you know, my first reaction was, I thought we had addressed this as a nation. I thought this was something that we had gotten to a place of maturity as a people. We had grown to a level of respect, and we had closed this ugly chapter of America, and we had moved on. But when I saw the anger and the unrest, I said, there's something that's not completely addressed and healed in our land. There's something yet that needs to be done, has to be done so that we can close the chapter and we can heal our land. Complete healing and resolve has not come. And some things as a nation, we need to address and heal from. So my question to you today, is the church, are Christians doing what they could do, what they should do to help bring healing to the land? Are we doing our part? Are we playing the part that God has us to do? Are we doing enough? We look at divisions, not just racial divisions. We see different types of divisions in our nation. And our nation has never been so divided. No other time in history have we ever been so divided. You look at the elections leading up to this election, it's just every single election, it gets closer and closer and closer to just be split right down the middle. Why do we still have these great lines of division and separation in our nation? But it's not just our nation. You can look at the body of Christ. People are splits. People are segregated. People are throwing dirt at one another, making accusations against each other. The body of Christ isn't even unified. How can we expect the world that we serve and we love to be unified when the body of Christ hasn't even figured it out? This is the world that God loves, that God sent us to love on. But we haven't even figured out how to heal lines of division. I believe there's an answer. I believe there's a healing that God has for us. We look at disasters. It's just horrific what happened in Haiti. Again, another tragedy in Haiti. We see what happened in America on a smaller scale. Just destruction across the Caribbean. There is something happening in the world today. Does the church have an answer? Do Christians, do believers have an answer to the issues that are going on today? To these disasters that are happening? Are our hearts still tender towards disasters that happen? Or are we callous? Do we have a heart that beats for the people that understands intrinsically what John 3:16 was saying? For God so loved. He so loved the world that he sent his very best, his priceless treasure. We see it's not just on major scales. We have local things that happen, local disasters. But what is our response to things close, to things far away, when tragedy strikes? I believe that the church is supposed to have a solution. I believe that Christians, believers, are supposed to have a solution. Our land is hurting. Do we have an answer? Do we have an answer, church? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive sins, and I will heal their land. The question is, what can we do? What can we do? I'm going to give you four things. Four things we need to do. And then I'm going to give you three things that God will do. Four things that we need to do. And three things that God will do in response. Scripture says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves. Kana is the Hebrew word there for humble themselves. When we realize we don't have the answers, and we realize that he has the answers, the Hebrew word actually means to come underneath God's authority. How many times do we operate in our own authority? Do we operate in our own ways of trying to figure things out? And we end up at a dead end. We try to fix things by the natural. We try to fix things with our own intellect. But if we were to humble ourselves and come underneath the authority of God. Number one, humble ourselves. Number two, pray. This is palal, the Hebrew word. Now, prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a relationship. But this particular word for prayer means to intervene. Means to intercede. This is not just you talking about your stuff. Oftentimes we get caught up in what I would call selfish Christianity. Our prayers consist only of, God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. It's like a Christmas list of things that we're asking from God. But we have not ventured into the realm of intervening on the behalf of someone else. Interceding. This word, palal, means to intervene. So if we humble ourselves, if we pray, and if we, number three, seek his face. Bakash panam. This word combination means to desire my presence. To desire my presence. In this busy, 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 busy world of instant gratification, we're going here, we're going there, we're going everywhere, we're all over the place, our schedules are all over the place. Do we still desire God's presence enough to put it into our agenda, to put it into our calendar, to put it into our schedule, say, God, I want to know what your will is. I want my heart to be connected with your heart, to know what is important to you, God. I want to desire your presence. Not just to seek his face for seeking his face, but to know his character, to know his heart. So if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek his face, and if we turn from our wicked ways. No, this is something that can mean a lot of different things. So I don't want you to just write this off easily and say, well, I'm not a wicked person. I'm not doing wicked things. I want you to really take a deeper look at this word, because what this means is it can mean bad. It can mean evil. It could mean disagreeable. It could mean hurtful. How many times have we hurt people that we should have been loving? Vicious, unethical deeds. That time we think nobody's looking. We're kind of in between a rock and a hard place, and we do that little thing that is unethical. Or unethical deeds or action. But listen to this. Sometimes, just sometimes, the greatest wickedness is the wickedness of not doing something when we could do something. Not helping when we could be the last line of help that somebody has. Sometimes the greatest sin is to sit back and not help when you can. But if we do these four things, come on, family, if we do these four things, I want to tell you what God is going to do. Turn to somebody and say, what God is going to do. This is what gets so excited, and I hope you get this in your spirit. These are three things that God will absolutely do. If we do these four things, God will do these three incredible things. Number one, he will hear from heaven. Shema. Now, this is what's so incredible about this word, because a lot of times when we read this in our English language, we kind of miss it, because I think it would be better said that from heaven I will hear. Because what God is saying in this passage is, from the heavenlies I will hear you. From my throne of justice I will hear what you're praying about. I will hear your concern. The definition is, I will perceive what you're saying, or I will give attention and interest to you. This is such a great part of this word. It actually means to hear a judicial case. I will from heaven hear your case. This is heavy. Number two, he will forgive sins. Salach kata'a, which means I will pardon your condition of sin. I will pardon the punishment of your sin, and I will purify you. That's all in there. That's all in there. This is what God will do. From heaven, he will hear your concern, your case. Number two, he will pardon your condition of sin. And number three, he will heal our land. Now, this is what's so great. He could have used a lot of different words. And you've heard this word before. You've heard us sing about it. You've heard us, when we're praying for sick people, say, Rapha. I am the God that heals. He takes the word that means to heal a physical infirmity and said, I will, as a physician, operate on your land, and I will bring health. I will restore favor. This is what the word means. I will restore favor to your nation, and I will heal individual distresses. That's in there. That's all in the definition of the word. I will heal individual distresses within people groups. Can I modernize the passage for you today and put this together? If my people who are called by my name will get underneath my authority and intercede for their nation and desire my presence and take, watch, godly action, then I will hear your request in the heavenly dimension. I will pardon your condition of sin, and I will restore your nation. Is that powerful? To know that you and I have the ability to change things. Maybe you're sitting back and you're thinking about not voting. You have the ability to pray and to act and to affect change. We have the ability, you, me, believers in our nation. The Bible says, if my people called by my name, what people? His people. The people sitting in this room, the family of God, people across our nation that believe in the Lord can intercede for this nation, and we can see healing come. We have the ability, say it with me, I have the ability to pray. I have the ability to change things. A couple of questions. Have we tried to do things on our own? In our own ability? Number two, have we stopped praying for our nation? I know we pray for ourselves. I know we pray for our families. I know we pray for, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Bless me with this, bless me with that. But have we stopped praying for our nation? Are we really truly seeking God out? These are questions. Have we adopted a selfish approach instead of a good Samaritan attitude? You know, if we remember back the story of the Good Samaritan, there were people that were people of faith that walked right by the person that was hurting. What is our attitude? You know, part of prayer is so we can pray for somebody else, but prayer changes us so that we're not that religious person walking by, are not seeing, not having our eyes open to see those that actually are around us that need some help. Sometimes we're praying for our families, praying for ourselves, praying for finances. Sometimes we even pray for our church or church leaders. But are we praying for our nation? Let me tell you something. This is one of the most critical moments in history for the church, for the nation, for the people. We need to stand up and be a light. There's people that need our help. There's other nations that need our help. If America isn't being what they need to be, guess what? America can't help Haiti. America can't help the Bahamas. America can't help other islands. America can't help Cuba. We have to be who we need to be. I want to see the church rise up again and be the salt, be the light, be that glimmer of hope that the world needs. Maybe we need to line up some areas of our lives. Maybe we need to pray a better prayer. Maybe we need to seek Him a little bit more than we have. Maybe there's some changes we can make that God can hear our prayers, bring forgiveness, and heal our land. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be the light. God, we don't take it for granted. And we know we need you. Our nation needs you. Our cities need you. There are so many problems that need the solution that you have. We need your guidance to be the answer that is needed. People are out there hurting. People are oftentimes divided. People are oftentimes confused. Help us bring healing. The type of healing that only you offer, God. Help us get outside of ourselves. Help us to be that good neighbor, that good Samaritan, that city set on a hill. Help us bring that hope that the world truly needs. God, give us the courage to stop, to break out of ruts that the enemy has allowed us to fall in. God, and be salty again. Make a difference. Be difference makers in our world. Father, I thank you for giving us the courage to do that. And also, while heads are bowed, maybe you're at a place today where you're just not where you need to be with Jesus. You say, I just got a little disconnected, and I know I need to reconnect with the Lord today. I know that He has a plan for me, or I'm wondering what that plan is, but I know that I just feel something tugging on my heart today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. If you need to connect with Jesus today, I see that. The most important decision that you can make is to say yes to Jesus. The most important decision that you can make today is to say, God, I want to reconnect with you today. I want to get this thing back on the right track. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can pray this prayer together with us. Jesus, I want to reconnect with you today. Show me how to live like you did. How to be a healer. To bring healing to those around me. Thank you for what you did on the cross. How you died for my sins. How you reconnected me with the Father. I receive your free gift of salvation. Teach me how to walk with you. I'm ready. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.